Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God has a heart full of love. Those who trust the Lord, they enter into a greater way of life. Now, I talk about life a lot, the life of God. He gave us life. And as we receive life, we are able to do things on a greater basis. We have living concepts. We have options. It is glorious. And the devil is so busy trying to hide this light from mankind. He's trying to keep people from knowing about the kindness and love of God. Now, he's working against it. He's an enemy to life. And he tried to get you to receive poison. And he wants your life to be corrupt like his. He wants your life to mean nothing. He wants your life to go south. But God gave us true life. Now, let me define some things about life. It all stems from love. God gives us love in every way. Because he loves us, he gave us his wisdom. He gave us instructions. The same instructions or the same principles that he uses to make everything. When God gives something, no matter what it is, he gives his very, very, very best. When Israel asked for a king, even though they were in rebellion, he gave them the best choice at the time. When Saul fell and he had to find a replacement, he found the very, very best. Every time he gave the best. He evaluated. David's brothers were evaluated. And David was chosen. Many people were evaluated. The Lord looks at everything. He can see what's going to go forward, and he gave the best choice. When he chose Peter as an apostle, he chose the best choice. Peter, James, and John, all three were considered. But Jesus fished for the right person. He came walking on water. Peter was the first one to get out of the boat. The only one to get out of the boat. He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." And the others were afraid. But Peter spoke, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." On the mountain of transfiguration, he was the first one to speak. Even though what he said was not the plan, his heart had the first motivation. Jesus asked all of his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter spoke up, "You're the Son of God." And then that's when Jesus said, "Peter, the Father revealed this to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And on this rock I build my church." And it was already written that when he was captured, his disciples would be scattered. But Jesus came to Peter and said, "Satan's going to try to sift your mind as wheat, but I pray for you. And when you're delivered, strengthen your brothers." When God gives, he gives his very best. So when we receive the counsel of God, we're receiving top choice counsel. When you pray and ask the Lord for answers, he gives you his best solutions. All right, from there, a lot of people look at it and they approve it. And sometimes they don't even receive it. They don't act on it because they just don't trust God. And it's taboo to not trust God. People don't say that they don't trust God. They just don't act on what he said. Because they don't really trust God. If you really trust God, you'll do what he say do. And then you'll learn that it works. So as you go forward doing God's work, taking his word in, receiving his word, you're going to find out that it works. And then you'll go forward and not backwards. You'll live and not die. You'll have life. Why do people trust God? People trust God because of what happened in their past. We love God because he first loved us. And we did what he said. It worked. We had faith in him. It worked out. And we trust him because of what happened in our past. The good experiences that we had. We did his word and it worked. Now we trust God in that area. People don't trust people they don't know. Even if it's God. Even when it's the Lord, people don't. They don't trust. They just don't. All throughout the Word of God, the Lord said, do something, and people were reluctant. Even good people, great men of God. God told Jeremiah, I chose you from the womb. He said, I'm just a child. He didn't have any experience with God at that point. And all at once, the Lord's telling him he's a prophet that's going to destroy nations and build up nations. That was one prophet. He told him what he would do from the beginning. And then he trained him. But Jeremiah received what he said and he acted on it. Now, let's take a closer look at life. When you're receiving life, you're more apt. When you're receiving life and doing what God say, you start out small and you do greater and greater things. From there, you will have an appetite for the things of God. You'll start desiring God's word. You'll start desiring God's life. And as he give you things, you're more apt to receive it. When that process happens, you begin to trust God and the relationship is born. When people believe on Jesus Christ, they're saved. They took God's word on salvation. They're in the kingdom of God. They're no smarter than they were before, except for Jesus. In other words, just because they get saved, unless a miracle happens, they're no more intelligent than they were before, except for now they have the peace and joy of God. Salvation doesn't give you an education. In other words, if you're a mechanic, you're still a mechanic. You're not an engineer. If you want to be an engineer, you got to go and learn how to be an engineer. If you're a legal aid, you're not a lawyer. You have to go learn how to be a lawyer. If you're a nurse, you're not a doctor. You don't get an education with salvation. If you can't read and you get saved, you still can't read. If you're bad with numbers, you get saved, you're still bad with numbers. Now, sometimes you hear that God taught people to read, and they did, and he did. I know some people that they said they had a lot of trouble reading, and they kept reading the word, and the Lord taught them how to read. One man went to South America, and he was an apostle, and the Lord taught him Portuguese. In a real short time. That was a miracle, folks. God can do that. But it didn't come with salvation, is what I'm saying. And sometimes people who were terrible alcoholics, they get saved and all of their taste for whiskey is gone. Well, that's a miracle. Most of the time, that don't happen that way. Sometimes people curse like a sailor. They get saved and it all goes away. That's a miracle. I had to work on my language. When I spoke when I spoke bitter words, I had to work it out of my, I had to drive it out of my life. I prayed all the every day. I prayed to get rid of that. It was in my habit system. So just because something's in your habit system, don't give up. Keep receiving the life of God, and you'll get rid of it. Sometimes repentance takes work. It's not just asking for forgiveness. It's learning life, receiving life, and acting on it. Receiving life and acting on it, and you'll drive the Philistines out of Canaan land. You'll drive the Amalekites. You'll kill all the Amalekites. You have to kill those things. Everything that's not of God, you can drive it out of your life. As you receive life, you have the motivation, the strength to do it. But salvation gives you the ability to do these things. You know, babies don't come out walking. It takes some time before they can walk. They crawl till they can walk. They walk till they can run. So it is in the kingdom of God. Now, if God do a miracle, enjoy the miracle. But usually, you have to work things out. And it's not good to get jealous of what God did for somebody else. The Lord, He evaluates everything. If He didn't do that for you, just work it out. You didn't lose anything. And God, He don't give us the very same thing. He give us His word. We build our life however we want to. And sometimes people's lives start out much far less and far worse than somebody else's. Somebody else may have had wonderful parents, and some people had terrible parents. But if you're saved, you're in the kingdom of God. Just build your life from that point on. There are things that you can share because of your background, whatever that background is, whether it's good or bad. Remember, nothing's lost in the kingdom of God, and everything can be gained. Even if you're an orphan and have no knowledgeable relatives, the Lord has people that will be relatives to you. One day you'll be married and you'll have a family of your own. You won't be alone anymore. You're gonna have friends that will take you in and love you. Nothing's lost in the kingdom of God. Everything can be gained. And sometimes people have relatives, and the Lord can reunite them. He knows how to put the destitute in families. Whatever was lost can be gained, especially when you receive life. There's many things that's going to happen. Where this ends is glorious. But first step, you got to receive life. Even after salvation, you still got to learn how to live and learn the things of God. God has a solution for every problem. But see, when it comes in seed form, it don't always look like it'll work. But as you start trusting God, you want to know what's next. When it gets to that point, God can really work with you. You have a story to tell. You have a testimony to reveal. And the life of God makes it all happen. Receive God's life. Receive the life of God. Don't be like those who stay in their way. Some people, wonderful people, otherwise they... God tell them what to do and they do something else all their life, and they never learn their capabilities because they never learn to trust God. People who truly trust God, they live in joy. People who stop trusting God, they stop living in joy because they're not receiving and acting on life, the life of God's word. You can study God's word and read God's word, say you love God's word, and even approve God's word, and not do it. But when you act on it, every time I had great success, I said, I'm going to do this. And I acted on God's word, and it just blew my mind how wonderful it works. So, when you read 1 Peter, and Peter teaches us how to love people the same way God loves us. Now just think about that for a moment. That means you're not going to be putting yourself first anymore. That means that you're not going to have pride anymore. That means that you're going to care about people that you would like to see the judgment of God come down on. And some people are not willing to do those things because they're focused on the people. They're not focused on the heart of God. But when you love like Jesus loved, that's the best thing I ever did. I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people. Now, at the time I did that, I didn't really read 1 Peter. I skimmed over it like most people do. I read it, got a few scriptures out of it, and kept going. I read it, got a few thoughts out of it, and kept going. 1 Peter should be one book. If you read it in chapters, you can miss the point. If you pick out chapter 2, it starts off saying, wives, submit to your own husbands. Likewise, ye wives, submit to your own husbands. Now, that turned a lot of women off right there. But if you don't read chapter 1 first, they put that chapter in the middle of an ongoing sentence. Because it starts off likewise. whoever diced up chapter 2 and put it there, they were crazy. they put it in the wrong place. That was the worst place to put start chapter 2. But that's what they did, so we have to deal with it. God didn't divide it up, and it was one book in its original state. Men put the chapters. Now, sometimes they did wonderful, but that time they missed it. I don't mean to call somebody crazy, but that was just the worst place to put it. But see, every chapter starts out with an ongoing sentence because the whole book goes together. You just have to be smart enough to see it for what it is and study it. Now, you may not have time to study the whole chapter every time you study. But keep in mind, if you don't get a good grip on chapter 1, the rest of the chapters, they seem to, they're not designed to stay alone, is what I'm saying. You can't have chapter 2 without chapter 1 because it's an ongoing thought. And if you try to, even when preachers preach it, and they preach chapter 2 without chapter 1, those are godly concepts, but they never preach the foundation of it. See, chapter 1 explains the love of God. And then he's showing you how to introduce the love of God into your own family, among your own friends, among your parents, among your spouse. You know, we're taking chapter 1, and he's introducing it in every part of your life. And if you want relationships restored, and if you want to be a good friend, a good relative, that's what you do. If you really want to win souls, study, you got to study chapter 1 and then introduce chapter 1, you know, in throughout your life, just like the Word of God, just like it's written, chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. But it's all one book. It should be one chapter. But if you pick it out, you're taking away the foundation. You can't do two through five without one. Because one shows you the foundation. And the knowledge of one is how we build our life. The knowledge of chapter 1. But see, if we have to go on and introduce it in our life to really learn chapter 1. Because when you live by chapter 1 among your family, friends, with your spouse, you're going to learn things about life that you couldn't receive anymore. In any other way, I mean. Now, what is your intake? Now, the intake, that's what you see every day. What are you around every day? What kind of people are you around every day? What is your intake? Are the influences that you're receiving, is it positive or negative? Are you around a lot of bitter people? Or a lot of critical people? A lot of godly people? What is your intake? What kind of entertainment do you gravitate towards? What are you hearing? What are you seeing? All these things will influence you, whether you like it or not. What kind of jokes do you laugh at? You know, comedy can be treacherous. So what kind of intake do you have? These things, the wrong influences, will war against the life of God. We all need to take in and make sure we take in more of the life of God than any of the negative. Sometimes you have to be around negative situations. So when that's the case, you have to receive more of God's word so that you'll be more apt to receive life. If you're around too much negativity, you'll start rebelling. It'll work against your appetite for life. So when the Lord talk to you and tell you things, you'll have a slow response if you're around too much negativity. When you watch TV, what are you watching? If it's a lot of violence and corruption and problems, no solutions, when the Lord give you life, you won't see it. But when you study His Word and watch wholesome things, you have to give yourself a chance. There is alternative. God didn't say you couldn't have entertainment and listen to music and watch TV and things like that, because TV wasn't invented back when he wrote the word. But He gave you good wisdom. You can receive. You know, you can choose the living things. I used to like to watch action movies, and the Lord told me to restrain from it. You know, I used to love watch Charles Bronson, and when he was a vigilante, the Lord told me to refrain from that. And I saw it different. I started choosing, making better choices. Because every thought can take you somewhere. Now, the love of God is important. And there's a time to learn to learn warfare. There's a time to stand up for yourself. But your appetite, you have to have the heart of God first, and then you can go forward and you can receive life and do the things of life, things that qualify you in life. But when you receive God's instruction, you're going to have good situations to happen. You're going to love it, and you'll start trusting God. See, we trust God because of our past dealings with Him. By faith, we believe Him, but we trust Him because He has rapport with us. We learn that He can be trusted and His word can be trusted. And the more you receive life, the more life you will receive. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.